Okay, so we are on Sa'adi Aleph, Amid Aleph, and at the Mishnah. So the Mishnah tells the following scenario. Misha haya nasoi shtei nashim umesu. Person married one woman and she died, and another woman and she died. Va'achar kach mesu, and then he passes away. So this is different than achas b'chai v'achas b'moso, because in this case, he had married both women and they both passed away before he passes away. And then what happens? V'yisomim mevakshem ksubos iman. V'ein sham elosh shtei ksubos. So what happens? So the children of each woman want to collect the ksuba of each of their mothers. So we're going to see the Gemara will explain that the case is that the ksubas are not of the same value. So in the example the Gemara gives is one of the ksubas is worth 1,000 zuz, and one of them is worth 500 zuz. So the point is that if they were just to collect the value of the ksuba, so one group is going to collect 1,000, one group will collect 500, because that's what they have their rights to. But if you would have just taken that same money and split it up as Yerusha, so what would happen? You just all split it up equally, besides the Bechor. But the point in general is it would be split equally. So the point is that if all you have, if the only money that's there is the 1,000 and the 50 and the 500 exactly, so then what happens? Ein sham elak shtei ksubos chokim b'shavet. Then you can't give each one the amount that they deserve based on their mother ksuba, but rather you have everybody split up. You just split everything up equally. However, hayasham mosar dinar, and this is the halacha that we learned this halacha early because we learned about this. But this is where the mission talks about it. If there's an extra dinar there, then eilu notim ksuba siman veeilu notim ksuba siman. Because what happens? Each one will take they'll take their 1,000, and the other group will take their 500, and that one dinar left will be split up like Yerusha, right? But the point is that we don't want this ksubas b'din dichrin, which is midrabanan, to override the din of Yerusha midaraisa, splitting up the nachla the way that the Torah says. So if you don't have the mosar dinar, we're stuck. Yeah, because I have to forget ksubas b'din dichrin, and we go back to regular Yerusha. But if I have a mosar dinar, so then each one gets what they were supposed to get. We each can collect from their mother's ksubas b'din dichrin. Fine. So then the Mishnah says, "Im amru yisomim, anachnu malim anichze avinu yafe dinar, kidei sheyitlu ksubas iman." So let's say there's exactly 1,500, and one group says, "You know what I'll do? We'll give it up. We'll take 999. You take your 500. There'll be one dinar left, and we'll get our whole 999, and we'll give up the, we'll give up the extra dinar. Is that Now the dinar will be left, and each of us can collect what we want." That's obviously into their benefit, right? Because they want to get their much higher value. So if they say that, what happens? Ein shomun lahen. We don't listen to them. El shomun es nechasim bebez. And no, we do our regular, I said 999. The way they really look at it is that they'll take their 1,000 for 1,001, whatever. Like they'll make it more expensive. Right? Look at Rashi just for a second. Hari anu malin al nichse avinu malin demehen leblam alein you'll be yoker. Right? They'll take the thousand zuz taken from land from land that's worth 1,001, whatever. But the point is, kedei dinar yeser al shavyan kedei shiyeh sham mosar dinar v'yitluk subas imam. But the point is they're going to have the point is they leave over one. You're going to leave over one, and then they can each collect. The answer is no, it doesn't work. And they have to collect it all split it up equally. Fine. So each group gets 750 in the end. Next case in the Mishnah. Hayusham nechasim beroi, einan kibam muchzak. So if they have nechasim that are supposed to come to them, but they don't have it yet, so it doesn't count. So Rashi says, Hayusham nechasim beroi, shiru'uya lipol lahem yerusha me avi aviem. So let's say their grandfather is still alive, right? So the father dies, and he drops the 1,500, 1,000 to one, 500 to the other. But the grandfather has another 500 zuz. Right? So when the grandfather passes away, they're going to get that also as part of their Yerusha. But the grandfather is still alive. So that's, it's roi, it's supposed to come to them, but they don't have it yet. So it doesn't count. U'l'chashatipo yiyesha mosar dinar. B'shei Yerushas, right? And once he dies, there's going to be extra. So still, that's not going to work. Einan kibbeh muchzak, says Rashi, Einan nechshav and achshav liyos ki'ilu hein muchzaki behen kfar ve'ishkan mosadina. That doesn't work. And therefore, again, they split it. They split it equally. Okay. So now it says the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilu yesham nechazim she'en la machrayas, even if they have basically metatalan, right? Einan klum, that's not enough. Ad shehu sham nechazim she'yeshan achrayas yosar ashtei aksubos dinar. So Rabbi Shimon basically says, if the mosar dinar is only in metatalan, that's also not enough. Right? As opposed to Tanakama presumably holds, if you have a mosar dinar, not in karka, but even mosar dinar just in cash, that itself would be, or some other metatalan, that would be enough to have, you know, the tip the scales. Now I have a mosar dinar, and now everyone can split it according to the ksuba. Fine. Okay, so now it says the Mishnah. Tana Rabbanan. Lezu elef, ulezu chamesh meos. The Gemara is now, I find this kind of interesting. It's sort of like a unique scenario. Gemara basically says, like, here's the case, right? The basis of the case would be that you have one has 1,000 and one has 500. Im yesha mosar dinar, elim nolim ksubas iman, velim nolim ksubas iman, vim lav, yechalku b'shav. And if not, you split it equally. So basically, another brisa which teaches us, basically, it just explains exactly what the case in the Mishnah was, which was 1,000 and 500. And that's the case. Says the Gemara, Pshita, Mirubin, Vinismatu, Kvar, Zachu, Behen, Yorshin. So let's say the value of the Yerusha was a lot, and then it shrinks in value, right? So whatever, the Yerusha was in, you know, land, and the land was very valuable, and then the land lost its value, and it went down. So let's say originally, when it was a lot, it was enough that everyone could get their own. There was a mosar dinar now, right? So the 500 and the 1,000 each take their karka, and everyone's good. And there's the mosar dinar to split up based on the Yerusha, and everyone's, well, at least the guys who are zochah to the higher amount, they're happy, right? So pshita, it's obvious, says the Gemara, that in that case, kfar zochah behen yorshin, right? They already had their higher valued land, and they're happy, and they get to keep it. The fact that the value goes down. Look just like a rash for 1 second. Reuben Bishas Misa, right? Again, it was when he passed away. The Elu Shemos Baosa Shah Hayasham Mosar Dinar. Whatever was there and then went down, then, you know, at that time had an extra dinar. Vidismatu Shahuzlu Kodem Shamu Bebezin, right? And what's the time frames here? So the point is that at the time of his death, the father's death, the money, the land was worth a lot. So everyone has, you know, what they're supposed to get. And then by the time there's time for the bezin to evaluate the land, the value goes down at that point. So there we assume it's pashut that each one got the rezocha at the Zman HaMisa. Right? The Shas Misa is the time that each one of them is zocha in the land. And that way they each keep it. Fine. We don't say, oh, now that it went down and there's no mosar dinar anymore, now you have to split up equally. We don't say that. Okay, but however, mu'ata v'nisra b'mai. What happens if at the time when the father died, the land was worth only 1,200, let's say, right? So they were going to split it equally. And now by the time they come to Bezdin to split it up, now it's worth 1,600, right? So they could split it up and each get their own amount. So what's halacha then? Do the little guys lose out? So tashma. The nichze debates bar tzirtzur mu'ate v'nisrabu havu. So there's nechasim, this person whose land was originally mu'aten and then v'nisrabu, and then the value went up. V'asu lekam in the Rav Amram, they went to Rav Amram. Amalu, and he said to them, zilu faisinhu. So he said to the yorshei ksuba gedola, right? Go and like make a deal, basically, right? He says to the people who are zocha to the less, the smaller amount, the 500 group, he says to them, go to the guys who have the 1,000 and try to make a deal with them, right? At that point, basically. Because really, they should be able, the presumption is that they already now are zocha, right? The group that has a larger amount, but you can go, if you want to make a deal with them, it would be worthwhile, right? But lo ashkechu, but they didn't listen, right? The smaller group didn't listen, didn't go to them to try to make a deal. So amar lahu, lo mefaisis, lo mefaisis, maisitu lahu, mechini lachu besilu delo mava dama. So he says to them, if you don't do that, I'm going to hit you with something that doesn't cause bleeding. Meaning, Rashi says, kot she'inu motzi dam benokvo bebasar klomar shamsa venido. If you don't do that, I'm going to put you in chayrim. So just to be clear, he's telling the group that it only makes sense to say that he's talking to the group that has the higher value. Right? He's saying to the group that has the higher value. I don't think it says that in our school, by the way.
But it says the opposite.
It says the opposite, right? Mm-hmm. But why would he put this? Why would he put the smaller group in Nidoy?
Unless only right.
Like they're not fighting for themselves enough.
Right. Unless.
Let's finish the case. But when I went over this last night, this didn't make total sense to me because it sounds like he's saying to the smaller group, go to the larger group and make a deal with them. Basically, meaning at that point it makes sense. You could say because they don't really have to. They're not required to, but. See if they'll be willing to make a deal with you.
Or alternatively, maybe it's just that...
Before he's on the Bezdin?
He's poskening that they get the benefit of the bump in the increase in the value.
And so you say make a deal before we come to Bezdin?
Because they have the better argument. So if you want it, you better make a deal.
Make a deal now before you come to Bezdin.
Because they, according to the way he's poskening here, they're right.
They're right.
So you better make a deal with them.
Right. That's what it would sound like, right? But if that's true, then it's surprising that he threatens the smaller group that they'd be put in chayrim for not arguing for their own money. Right. But that's what it sounds. That's how they explain it in there, right?
Unless they're never entitled to it in the first place.
Unless what?
They were never entitled to it.
Right. But I'm just saying he threatening them? But well, let's see.
Right.
Fine.
So if you don't want to do it, you'll lose out. But why?
You'll lose your money. Right. So that's fine. Right. Like, but he's just giving good advice. Like before you come to Bezdin, because again, the two timestamps are death and when Bezdin makes the evaluation. So if he's telling them to come before they go to Bezdin, so fine. But fine. So let's keep going. So what happened? So Shadrinu Lakami de Rav Nachman. So he sent them to talk to Rav Nachman. He said to them, "Kishem shemerubim v'nismatu zachu behen yorshin, kach mu'atem nisrabu zachu behen yorshin." So he says, and Rav Nachman is going to see some machlokas Rishonim here, I think. But Rav Nachman seems to be saying, if you read the simple pshat, it sounds like is he says to them, "You win," right, to the small group that just like whatever, basically, however it was at death, that's how we paskin, right? So since at death. It was less, there was not a Moser Dinar, you rechokim b'shavet, which helps the small guy, right? So that's basically what he's saying. Just like when he dies, and there's a lot, and there's a Moser Dinar, so the Yorshim, everyone gets what they got. So too, if when he dies, it was a small amount, so same thing, whatever it is, it's Shemas Misa. That's all we care about. Look at Rashi. Zachar ben Yorshik suba ha-ketana, lachok ha-kol b'shavet. Hoel b'shas misa lo hava b'hu mosar. Right, exactly. Since there wasn't more then, whatever it was, the shas misa, that's all we care about. So Tosfos is not so happy with this. Tosfos says, perish v'kuntros chokim b'shaveh v'chem perish v'bein chananel. But there are others who say differently, I believe. But, maybe I'll take a look at it later. But anyways, that's how the way Rashi explains it at the end to me makes a lot of sense. I just, the only thing I don't get is why he was going to put them in chayrim for not fighting for their own money.
Is it possible that what he was really saying is that's the way he's poskening, and if you want the result to be other, he's threatening them chayrim to the extent that they were going to posken the other way, like saying that.
But they're not poskening. They're just the yorshim.
Right, but what he's poskening for them, saying
Rav Nachman.
Yeah,
Rav Nachman's saying you don't have to worry about it.
Rav
Nachman's saying I'm not going to put you in chayrim. I'm not saying I'll take care of it for you.
Right. And there's a note here that says Rav Nachman overruled. Like
correct.
Poskening Rav Amram.
Like right.
The opposite. So
that makes sense to me. The only thing that doesn't make sense is why he's threatening them for not going to fight for their own money.
I guess I'm just asking: is it possible that he was threatening to put him in chayrim because? That was his psak, saying, and if you don't abide by that psak and you try to say ultimately what Rav Nachman ended up asking, then I'm going to put you in chayrim because you're not holding.
I guess it's possible. It's a little funny, but it's possible.
It says he sent them to Rav Nachman.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Whatever. We should clarify that one point, but at least according to Rashi, how that works. But anyways, the bottom line is, it seems it's a machlokas whether we assume. go based on the Shas Mitzah, or do you go based on the, and Rav Nachman seems to clear the Paskin, then we go based on the Shas Mitzah.
Yeah, because it says here in the snow,
yeah,
because of his relationships, Rav Nachman, he was the one who was able to enforce the rulings because he was related to the Reish Galusa.
And right, so they liked that he was powerful.
And therefore, so he thought that he was going to enforce the way that, I guess, that he had originally Paskin, right, the way Rambam Paskin.
And he didn't, did he?
And he didn't.
And he didn't.
And he ended up overruling.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah, interesting. Okay. Which fits your narrative that maybe he was going to put them in cherem for not abiding by his psak, that really shouldn't get it,
right.
unless you make a deal. Right. Yeah. Okay. All right, next story. Hahu gavra dava maske be alpha zuzay is a person who owed 1,000 zuz. And then havale trey aptane, he had two mansions. Zavinu chada b'chamish meya, he sold one for 500 zuz. B'chada b'chamish meya, he sold the other one for 500 zuz. Okay? So asa b'achov, again, so he sold each one. So again, it's not that he sold them to pay them off, per se, but we just know that he paid them, that was the case. He had owed 1,000, he sold each one for 500. So now what happens? So now, asa b'achov, so now one of the guys who he owes money to, right, tarfala chada minayu, goes to the buyer, right? That's what happens in the Chasim Sheish and Macharias, right? I can go now. That guy owed me $500, owed me $1,000, you know, $500, and then he sold his house for $500 zuz. I can go collect that. I can go collect the property from the person who had purchased it from him, right? That's how that works. So also bach of tarf lachad minayu hader katarif idach. So he goes out and he wants to he takes the first house. Right, and now he goes to take the second one. So the owner goes and takes shakal alpha zuzay the ka'az l'gabay. So now the owner and right and the Rishonim say presumably it was the owner, the same guy owned both houses presumably. So he goes ahead and he comes outside and he says, wait a second, if you want, here's 1,000 zuz. Right, I'm like isha v'lecha alpha zuzay l'chayai. If you want the 1,000 zuz they're trying to collect, I have it for you. Here's cash, 1,000 zuz. Right, v'lo. Sorry, if you think the house, one of the houses is worth 1,000 zuz, then we're finished, right? Take that first house and take it for as if it's 1,000 zuz, right? V'lo shakal alfei zuzay v'yistalek. And if not, here's $1,000 zuz cash and walk away. Okay? So sover Rabbi Bar Chama lememar hayne masnisin. So presumably that was okay that he said that. Maybe he said either take the house, which again wasn't worth 1,000, it was worth 500. And says, if it's worth 1,000 to you, finished. And if not, I'll pay you off. I'll pay you 1,000, but don't come take the second house. Basically, what he says. So Rabbi Racham Lameimar Hanim Asnisin. So Rabbi Racham wants to say that this is our Mishnah. Why? The Im Amr Yisomim Harei Anu Malin Al Nichse Avinu Yafedinar. Because what do we say in the Mishnah? So the Yisomim can, if the Yisomim say, they say instead of taking our 1,000 zuz payment for 1,000 zuz, we'll take it for a property that's actually more expensive, but we'll make it for 1,000. Right? It's a loss for them. Right? So same thing. But he's basically saying to these guys, take the mansion at a loss, or take the house at a loss, take it for 1,000, even though it's only worth 500, and finished. And so what should be the halacha in such a case? Right? So in which case it shouldn't work. Right? That should not be allowed. So Amalei Rava, Midami, it's not the same case. Hasam islu pseida liyasme. That's a different case. In that case, why does it not work? Because then they go ahead and they say, okay, you know what? We'll take our 1,000, we'll take a property for 1,000, but we'll take it for 1,001 or 1,010 or 1,200 in order to make sure that we can still collect our much larger amount than the other Yisomim. What happens in that case? The other group loses out. And there's two troops of people trying to split the Yerusha. Right? So that's where you can't do that because the other, you're trying to shake things up in order to tilt the scales in your favor, and you're going to be able to collect much more money than the other group. Here, the guy's just collecting from the guy who he's allowed to collect from, right? It's just a question, did he collect more or collect less, right? So, here's no loss to anybody else. Right? The guy, Alpha Yahav, Alpha Yishakil, he can either take his 1,000 or not. That's his choice. But like, you're paying him off with the amount of money that he actually is owed, right? You're just giving him cash instead of the property. So that shouldn't be a problem. Fine. So v'tirfa v'kama kasvinan. Fine. But if he does take it, then what you're writing the shtar? Because when someone So what, if a person purchases property in this way initially, right? So the guy who bought the mansion from the guy who owed the money, right? So when you make that purchase and then it gets taken from you, right? So what can you do? You can still go back and collect from the original seller, right? Not for this, meaning you got it, presumably you get it at a discount, right? Whenever you purchase something with Mishubadim, you could purchase something from somebody who owes money to somebody else. The whole reason you're able to buy it is because you buy it at a discounted price because it might be collected from you. But the bottom line is once it's collected from you, you can still go back and collect. Get your money back at least, right? So how much do you write in the shtar though? Would you write 500? Would you write 1,000? Right? Because in this case, what happened? The property was worth 500. And he makes a deal with the creditor and says, if it's worth 1,000, just take it for 1,000, even though it's really only worth 500. So which amount do you write in the shtar for him to go collect from the original guy you bought it from? So Ravina Amar Ba'afa, Ravavir Amar Ba'chameshmiya. The halacha is 500, which I think makes sense to us. That's how much he actually paid for it. Okay, next story. So it's almost the same exact story. Guy owed 100 zuz. Two little pieces of land. One's worth 50, one's worth 50. The Ba'achov comes and takes one of them. So now he wants to take the other one. So shakil kuf zuzay vikaz lagabei. So the owner of the field goes ahead and he takes 100 zuz and comes to the guy. If the field's worth 100, if this field's worth 100 zuz to you, then great, we're good, we're done. Vilo shakil kuf zuzay vistak. Then if not, then take 100 zuz cash and leave me alone. Same story. So Rav Yosef the Meimar, Hani Masnisen. So Rav Yosef said, "Oh, this is our Mishnah. Imam Chachamim, Imam Yisomim, v'chulei." Right, the exact same exact case from our Mishnah. I'm going to Abaye, and Abaye said in this case, "Midami, it's not the same." Hasem Isloop said to the Yasme, "Hachamai Psida Islay, Mei Yaiv, Mei Ashakil." Right. So they ask the same exact question. What do you mean? It's not. There's no one losing out in this case, so it's not really the same thing. So he gets that he was owed 100 and takes and he collects 100. Vit is fine. So the Gemara says, "Vitir for become a kasvina." Fine, but the guy who loses the field again, how much do you write in the shtar? Do you write 50? Do you write 100? Ravina Amar b'meya, or Ravir Amar b'chamishin, v'hilchos b'chamishin. Fine. So the only kasha is why the Gemara brings the same exact story that she uses the basis same exact halacha, just in take a zero away. But the bottom line is that the halacha is the same. Maybe to show it's different Amaroi and Paskinik. So maybe to show that they all agreed in the same case, but fine. Next story. Ahu gavra dahavim maske be meya zuze. So there was a person who owed 100 zuz. Shachiv. And he passed away. Shava ketina da'aya. He left a small plot of land. Tavishave chamishin zuze. He left a piece of land worth 50 zuz. Asa bachov v'katarifle. So there's a bachov came to collect, right, to take that 50 zuz, the land worth 50 zuz. So, Azul yasme, yavule chamishin zuze. So the Yisomim came and they wanted to pay 50 zuz to like redeem the field basically. Yavule chamishin zuze, hadir katarifla. So meaning he comes to he owes 100, right? And he's owed 100 and there's a land worth 50. So he comes to collect the 50. He said, no, we'll pay the 50. Fine, just leave us alone. And the guy says, great. He takes the 50 and then he says, okay, now give me your land, which is worth 50. Sure. Right, which makes sense because he wants the full 100, right? So also come and they come to Abaye. Am lahen, mitzvah yisobim lefroach ovavien. Sorry, it's a mitzvah. It's your mitzvah to pay off the debt of your father, right? Hani kamai mitzvah vidituh. The first 50, you did a mitzvah you were supposed to do. Hash the kitarif bedini katarif. And now the guy comes to collect the land, he's allowed to collect the land. That's permissible. He can do that. Velo amrin, but this is only true. Delo amrule, hani chamishin zuze deme de ara katina. That's only true if they didn't say to him, "Take this 50 zuz instead of, or that this land is like, you know, in place of the, you know, sorry, that this 50 zuz is like the money for the land, right?" Meaning the point is, if they said to him, "We're going to pay you the money to walk away," right? We'll pay the money, and now it's like in place of that land, and now you're paid off, and he agreed. That's one thing, but if they, you know, as long as they didn't say that, so then they're still allowed to go make the collection. Basically, point being, it's the same halacha that we were just talking about before. If they go ahead and they even make a deal with him and say, "Look, just take the 50 and go away, and it counts as the payoff," so then fine. But if they didn't say that, then we assume they just got half and then he can collect the other half. Fine. Last story. Ahu gavra de zavna leksubasa de ime betuvasana. A guy, his mother is alive, and his father, or and her husband at least, is alive. And he goes out and he sells the tuvas hana of the ksuba. Right? So like, the chances that if she, you know, if she would die, right, before he does, right, and the husband dies and she dies, so what would happen, he'd be able to collect it, right? But the chances of that happening are very small. So he sells it for a very small amount of money, this ability to take the land. Fine. So Amalei, and he says to the guy who sells it to, I asya aim uma'arara lo maftzir lacha. I'm not, if my mom comes and complains about the sale, I can't defend you. It's you're on your own, basically, right? Because she didn't even know about it, right? So she expects to collect her own ksuba. So you're going to say, what do you mean? I bought the rights. You bought the rights without my you know, permission. So shchiva ime, she actually died. V'lo ira, and she never came to. She dies. V'lo ira v'asi iu v'kam ara, and the son comes and says, just kidding. I'm taking the ksuba. Savra racham lemeimar iu v'makam imekai. And Rabbi Rachama said, no, it's okay. He's allowed to. Why is he allowed to? Because when he sold it, the understanding was, you don't really have the rights are, you know, they're not defendable. They're not defensible, basically. Because at the end of the day, I'm the child. She's the person herself. So there's so many people in line ahead of you. So you don't have to actually, necessarily have the rights. I'll sell them to you. In the event that no one comes to collect, you'll be the next in line to collect. But clearly he would have to pay him back for the money he paid him. Right? The guy paid for something. Whatever money he paid for the rights, he'd have to pay him back. But in terms of collecting the whole ksuba, the guy's able to say, that's okay, I'll collect it myself, because at the end of the day, the sale itself was never really anything that that had validity, because he still remains himself in play. Fine, so we'll stop here, and we'll pick up Tzadi Beis next week.